it used to be like, you know, we have excellent customer service, we have good views, we take good real estate photos, like this is going to be, you know, this is going to be enough. We're going to have success. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, okay, maybe there's more. My experience has been it's double. Like something done really well, it's usually double the revenue for the same. I mean, it could be the same house next to each other, but this one could legitimately be making twice as much. The market was like behind 20%, and now I'm even ahead of like 10% of last year's revenue, and I'll probably end up 30 or 40% ahead of last year's revenue and stuff. And so it's been night and day.
Hi, I'm Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews and my favorite type of interviews, where we get to talk to other short-term rental investors that are playing this game at a high level and willing to share the good, the bad, the ugly, and kind of everything in between. And so today, we've got Mr. Bob Barrett joining us. And so he's part of our Vodacy family. And Bob, I'm super excited about this conversation and sharing your journey into the short-term rental investing world. So thanks for joining me today, my man.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, Sean. Thank you.
Awesome. We're happy to have you. And like I always tell everybody that listens in, but also before we hit record, is you and I are just going to kind of have a conversation, catching up on a lot of different things and letting people listen to us have that conversation. And so I always ask and I always appreciate the answers I always get, but I always ask and say, is there anything you do or don't want to talk about? And everybody says, no, I'm an open book. And so what we can talk about, not only all the good stuff, but some of the lessons learned along the way, because anytime we can share that and kind of pass that baton so somebody else doesn't have to make the same mistakes we make, that's one of our goals here at Vodacy, is to help people walk into that with their eyes wide open. But before we start there, let's start with your backstory. Tell me where you're from, what pays the bills, what got you interested in real estate investing in general, and we'll kind of roll into the short-term rental world that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So from the Springfield, Missouri area, really my background is, for about 19 years, I was in the finance and accounting world, kind of corporate America. So from 05 to 2024, and we made the transition from being in corporate America to kind of going full time into nightly rentals, doing management and also managing our own as well. And also I've been a bivocational minister too as well for the last 15 years. So we got four kids, busy life, you know, teenagers pretty much now. So they keep us busy too, but yeah.
Love it. So before you got into the short-term rental space, being from the corporate mm-hmm. world and have a ministry, is that along the way, it sounds like, for a lot of that time, but did you mm-hmm. have any other real estate investing, like other asset classes that you were interested in, or did you dive, was your first real estate investment short-term rentals, or were you doing something before that?
I wasn't, from an investing perspective. I had looked at some long-term rentals. I guess one of my homes I had for a little while, I couldn't sell it. I rented it out for a little, but that was more by default, not by design.
Yeah.
But the short-term rentals were definitely kind of the first foray into investing. And
all right. Well, take me into that. When did that happen and what did that look like?
Yeah. So I think my story could be a little different than some others. So I grew up kind of back in Massachusetts. We always had a lake house that I just had super fond memories kind of being on the lake. And so I'm like, man, I would love that someday if we could do that back down here at Table Rock in the Branson area. And so the opportunity popped up and I'm like, well, it'd be cool if we could also rent it out, you know, when we weren't there and stuff like that. And so we pulled the trigger. We kind of bought it as a second home initially, thinking that, okay, yeah, we'll rent it out and we'll go there a lot too, and stuff like that. So fast forward, it was a brand new build. So it was built for a year. So in 21, we opened our doors for the first time. And it just really took off, right? That was when the height of COVID, things were crazy. In fact, you know, we were making good money at that time, to the fact where I'm like, I'm not sure we are going down there, because I don't know if I want to give up that rent, so to speak. So we got into it that way, but we really just enjoyed kind of the guest experience. We enjoyed just seeing people, kind of the feedback that we got from, oh, the lake's so beautiful and we love the place. And so we were kind of hooked from there, as far as that goes, when it came to that. And, that was how it all started, I guess.
And then so you started getting a little bit of the taste of it during a time when a lot of people got introduced to, you know, short-term rentals. Now, albeit looking back, they were, and I was saying it at the time, but they were introduced to a kind of a blip in the market, but it was a really good blip, right? It was one of those blips. Short-term rentals was like having toilet paper during COVID. Like everybody wanted it, right? And they were paying a premium for it. And so it was a fun time to get introduced to an asset class. Sometimes that can be a little misleading, and we'll talk a little bit about that, of what the actual what it actually takes. But you started getting very interested, it sounds like, and rolling over to, so take me from that launch in 2021. Doing really well through 2021, 2022, and having those conversations of maybe we want to do this a little bit more, maybe on the management side, more investing. What I'd love to hear those conversations between you and your wife when you're deciding like how to kind of expand into it a little bit deeper.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, some of it happened organically from there were people around us in our neighborhood. They're like, hey, your house seems to be rented a lot and you seem to be doing well. Do you care to kind of help us out and rent ours as well? So that's initially, I don't know if we weren't really looking for a full blown business, so to speak, so that's, it kind of happened organically like that. And then, just other opportunities came up to where, you know, we got in with a developer. We were getting pretty good deals on some new builds. And so we got two more houses after that, both in 23. I mean, one was supposed to be in 22, but you know, construction delays, you know how that goes back when everything was delayed. So we got kind of the next two in 23. And then, as you know, the market starts to, you know, we're getting more and more supply in the Branson market. And this is a good thing. And, you know, developers can make, it's like, well, if I build a regular house, I can make 150 a square foot, but if I build a nightly rental, I can make 250 a square foot. So where are they going to build, right? they're going to build a nightly rental. So we did start to see kind of more supply, more price competition. Like for the first time in probably 23, late 22, we started to see, you know, just kind of rents. I wasn't getting as much on my average nightly rate and things like that. So that was kind of how we got into it. You know, we started out slow, but then we realized, you know, we really do like this. We enjoy this. We have, you know, kind of a, we're having some success here. So let's keep going from there.
All in the Branson market. So the properties that you guys own and then started managing, we're all in that same exact market, right?
Yeah, correct. So we kind of specialize a lot of the homes in that neighborhood, high amenities, larger homes. We're not in condos so much or things of that nature, but we love kind of the home space in Branson. And so that's really what we've focused on and helped others with as well as ourselves.
Awesome. So. Awesome. And I love that we started the journey, you know, really where you did, because even so we see this big spike. We see that, hey, the consumer is like, man, we really like this new asset class that's becoming mainstream and everybody's spending a lot of money on it. And then obviously in capitalist societies, we're going to have that supply and demand gap is going to catch up with itself at some point. Yeah. We know that it's not going to be, out of whack for too long. The developers are going to start building those homes. The investors are going to come in and put homes together that people can rent on a nightly basis. And we saw that major shift. And Branson's a major market. Branson's one of the a major short-term rental market in the U.S. It's a large market. There's a lot of homes in that market. And so what we saw is that all of a sudden that supply started to catch up with demand. Demand really didn't drop. What happened is supply caught up, right? When you look at markets across the board, even today, demand continues to go up. The dollars, overall dollars that the consumer is spending continues to go up. Branson was no different, but you feel the effects of it when supply and demand start to even out instead of being really heavily weighted one way or the other. And so in a boom, the supply is way shorter than demand. The demand far outweighs supply, right? And so builders start catching up. They start building homes. Investors come into the market. And you start to see in 2022 and also at the end of 2022, interest rates skyrocketed pretty much overnight from the spring, quarter one to quarter three. It was almost a 2% increase in interest rates overnight. And so cost of properties starts to, catch up a little bit. So the cost of ownership is a little bit higher. So you're starting to launch some of the other properties during the shift, right? That's right when everything started shifting back to really what we would say more normal levels in as far as supply and demand. And so now it takes some different things to stand out, right? Now we got to give the consumer a good reason to pick our house above and beyond everybody else's. And at the time, you had a brand new build, great proximity. Mm-hmm. You can see the lake. You've got really awesome amenities, but so does your neighbor, right? And so then you start to say, okay, what do we have to do different? And so I'd love you to roll into the conversation of, okay, we started to notice, because I'm guessing you started to notice performance issues. Probably not overnight, but you started to see that there was going to be a little bit of a change there, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're right. And the demand hasn't changed in our market. So and if so, it's just even went up a little bit. It's because it is a solid market. So you hit that on the head. It's just there's more supply too, which just kind of gives people some more choices. But kind of in 23, I started to notice the prices going down and stuff like that. And then in 24, I'm like, man, I think we're going to have to do something. Because it used to be like, we have excellent customer service. We have good views. We take good real estate photos. Like this is going to be, this is going to be enough. We're going to have success. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, okay, maybe there's more to this as well. And so, I started kind of looking into, okay, how do we raise revenue? How do we make ourselves more appealing in the marketing aspect? And really, that's when I came across you all as well, Vodacy. I think I was probably in the algorithm somewhere in Facebook or somewhere, they caught me. But I started to look at, I think I saw your Cherry Log case study or something about that. And just, I'm like, wow, these people really know what they're doing. Like, their houses really look different, and getting more into that experience, I'm like, yeah, that's visually appealing. That makes a ton of sense. And I think we need to start to look into that. And then two, as on the management side as well, you always have some additional pressure, right? When numbers were up, yes. and then people are like, hey, why isn't my house? What are you doing over there? Why isn't my house doing so well? It's like, well, okay, we got to change some things, and we got to kind of uplift some of the stuff we're doing over here to get you back where you need to and stuff like that. So we definitely saw that. We definitely came across Vodacy, to start to realize, like, how do we do this better than we're doing it currently? Because what we're doing is it's a race to the bottom, it essentially felt like. So,
yeah. And it's frustrating because you have beautiful properties and it's a race to the bottom. You're like, man, these are expensive, nice, new construction, great amenities, great proximity. Yeah. Why is it a race to the bottom? Right. And this is a conversation that a lot of owners have in their heads. Like, like if the consumer's spending money and we have these great properties and we have this great proximity, why aren't they not booking like they used to for the amount of money that they used to? And the simple answer to that is the consumer has a lot of choices. And when the consumer has a lot of choices and we start to look like a commodity because these developers, they develop an area and there's 50 brand new homes with all the same amenities, all the same views, all the same lake access, right? All of a sudden, if somebody does not differentiate themselves, the consumer is going to say, this is a commodity. And how do we buy commodities? On price. And so like you said, it's a race to the bottom. And if we can't make money being the lowest priced person in a market, Dan Kennedy always says there is no competitive advantage being the second lowest priced person. And so, so as an investor, as a consumer, or we have to understand consumer behavior as an investor, we need to maximize these assets. We say, how do we do it? What can we do then? And the answer to that is we say, first and foremost, what is the consumer buying? And they're not buying properties. And we tend to make that mistake that we think if we have these great properties in these great areas, that that's what's going to get us over the edge. That's not true, because our neighbors all have great properties in the same areas, right? And yeah. So we have to take it a step further, and we say, how can we create these experiences? How can we, you mentioned something earlier when you were saying, when you looked at like the Cherry Log case study and looked at some of the other Modesty signature properties, and you're saying they were different, right? Yeah. There's something different about them. And that's what, when you can be unique, personalized, and more importantly, different than everybody else in your market, what you do is you create this category of one. You compete in a market of one, because we are different. And they're now all of a sudden, because we're different, being different in and of itself makes us not a commodity, because we're not like our neighbors. We're not the same as our neighbors, right? And so now all of a sudden the consumer is saying, okay, because that's different, am I willing to pay more for it? It stands out. It gives us that pause. It stops a scroll. And we have to now articulate, why are we better? Just because we're different we could be different and worse, right? Now we have to be different and better, right? And so we create these experiences that are more immersive, but this, more than anything, we just try to sell the lifestyle or the use of these properties and set them up a little bit different. And because we can create that differentiation, it allows us to have a competitive advantage in the market. And that's what it sounds like you were starting to realize as you started to look into this. And I want to highlight something that you did on the management side. Mm-hmm. And more of a plug for people to use managers like you, because it is I don't manage my own properties. I look for managers that understand this game, right? And understand how do we maximize, and because part of the experience is the management partner is a huge part of your customer experience, the communication, all that stuff. Just the delivery of the experience is so much on the management partner's shoulder. However, investors look at their management partner when numbers aren't, producing, and you're saying, and the cliche canned answer is the market's changed. Right. It's like, okay, I get it. The market did change. Market did shift. But what do we do about it? And most managers don't have an answer to what can we do about it. Mm-hmm. And I love that you were trying to look at it, not only from the investment standpoint, but there's a lot of extra, like you said, added pressure when you have property owners saying, hey, Bob, you're managing my property. What, what's going on? And you're like, well, the market changed. And I want to know, okay, what do we do? Like, how can we stand out? How can we get our unfair share of business? What's the plan, right? And I love the fact that you started to say, okay, what can we have as a plan? And you invest in the, yourself and the education of learning how to do this. But so take me through some of those conversations, or just maybe we use your properties as a case study of, what the numbers were looking like and what we did, and then what they started to do, and if it made a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was probably last winter I started to kind of look at the numbers for next year across the board, and maybe even in January or something like that. But, I use tools to kind of see the revenue in neighborhoods and things like that. And for my specific five bedrooms, they're down 20% across the board. Right. So I'm like, okay, well, it's not just a me thing, right? Like we're all experiencing this in the neighborhood and stuff like that. And it's like, well, okay, I became a member of Odyssey, became part of the program, loved the content. I'm like, okay, it's time. We're going to go through the videos. We're going to uplift we're going to stage the property better. We're going to take better photos. We're going to really just up level the whole experience from kind of the pictures perspective and even the writing, like what the guests experience, like the first experience when they see us. Right. And so I even looked at kind of an entire redesign and stuff like that. But there's a significant cost associated with that. Yeah. So I'm like, well, you know what, we're going to bootstrap this and just do it ourselves. You kind of give us all the tools to do it. It takes time, some sweat equity as far as that goes. So that's what we decided to do. And we found a great photographer that could kind of execute those pictures, which is super difficult to do sometimes. And then Really, we started looking the Vodacy community to see, hey, what are other Vodacy members? Because I mean, I'll just say like there's some of the top houses that I've seen like across the organization. It's just kind of a first class. So just a great resource there. So we started to look at, okay, now what's the vibe and the feel? And we went into the design stuff, and those modules were super helpful. Like, how do we come up with a cohesive design? How do we, you know, so that it's not like eclectic, you know, and stuff like, we're not designers. I mean, I'm finance by trade and stuff like that. And my wife is, she's good with stuff like that, but she's not a designer. Right. So those were super helpful too, just kind of how to come up with a cohesive design. So we did all that. And we kind of did the pictures and stuff, and then we sat back and we're like, okay, let's kind of see what happens as far as that goes. And so I think we finished probably around April sometime. And then I started to notice I was getting like a lot more last minute bookings than I used to. And it's super interesting too. So my home always did well on Vrbo. It never did great on Airbnb and stuff. And so I started to see it flip kind of after April, after it went out. It all of a sudden, Airbnb was just funneling me like customer after customer after customer, to where the market was like behind 20%. And now I'm even ahead of like 10% of last year's revenue. And I'll probably end up 30 or 40% ahead of last year's revenue and stuff. And so it's been night and day. And it's also, it's interesting too. It's kind of given me a bit more confidence. This is what I didn't consider from the sense that, okay, I do have a property that stands out. I don't have to take the lowest price at the last minute. You know, people are going to see the value, and it's just helped me to be kind of more patient in that perspective too for things like that. And it's been, you know, it's been an increase in revenue as a result, really, right, across the board. So that's been kind of our little case study as we dove into it. And we're going to do it on other places too. We're actually going to help out one of our management clients here Thursday. We're doing the same thing for them for an uplift on their home. So.
That's awesome. And it's, and I'm curious if you would agree with this. I always say, cause people are like, well, what's the, you know, what can I do here? And like this and that and the other. And we love doing those assessments, and I love jumping on strategy calls and looking at properties, and we give them the thing. But I always say it's not just like one silver bullet. It's not like one thing you're going to do. There's like 100 golden BBs, right? There's a whole bunch of little things that you're going to do to make the big difference. And like you're like, it's not really, none of it's rocket science. None of it is something you're like, that, you know, that like, you know, part of it is you look at it at the end of the day and you're like, man, I should have thought of that. Right. Like, well, why didn't I do that? Right. Like, I didn't think it would make that big of a difference type of a thing. Right.
Yeah.
And, but it does, and it makes a huge difference. Absolutely. And it's that differentiation in a market that becomes very, very crowded that a lot of people hesitate to do because some of it seems too simple, right? They're like, man, but when you also, there's no reason not to reverse engineer this, what is going on and what works. And I love that you just said, hey, listen, we can either, and we always have that choice, right? At Vodacy, we're like, hey, we'll give you the option and we'll send out those experts and do it for you, right? We've got the designers and the photographers and everything else, and they can go do this stuff for you. It's difficult to pull off. But they'll do it, but it can be expensive, right? It's more expensive than, or you can learn how to do it. You can roll up your sleeves and you can put it together. Again, it's just more time consuming than anything. It's not like you can't do it. Most people are very capable of doing the things that you're talking about on these uplifts. But sometimes, would you agree or disagree when I say, you know, a lot of times people look at what we're doing and they almost say, I don't think that's going to make that big of a difference. And so I'm not going to put the time or the effort or the money into it because I can't see that making that big of a difference.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that is. I mean, honestly, I even had that question myself when I'm like, surely it's not that easy, right? Surely it's not that that straightforward. And so it's like, okay, we're gonna do it. We're gonna go for it and stuff. And you know, everything like that. But I would absolutely agree with that right. statement and stuff that people are like, is it really?
I think it's one of the reasons why people always ask me like what's kind of the secret sauce? Like, why do you operate so many properties at the top of these markets? Why do we have so many mm-hmm. properties? And I brag about you guys all the time of our Vodacy portfolio and our Vodacy right. family. If I mean, it would just dominate pretty much any market you want to go into. Right. But it's not because I think it's having the confidence to just go trust a system or trust that it is going to make that big of a difference. Because when you look at things on the surface, a lot of times we look at it and I think we question, and most people question and saying, surely there's got to be something else besides that that's going to make that big of a difference. But you know, you do these changes and you're like, okay, the market's down 20% across the board in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to do this and I'm going to be, you know, above and ahead of last year by 30 to 40%. So it's like, right. you increase, right? So you're way yeah. ahead of the market, but also yeah. increasing on what you're doing, because it is true. The consumer does notice those little differences and those little mm-hmm. details, and especially mm-hmm. those details that create, because all we're trying to do is articulate that experience. We're trying to create this immersive experience, articulate yes. it really well, and then ultimately deliver it really well. And don't forget about that part on the management side of you delivering that experience really yeah. well. And all of a sudden, the consumer recognizes that stuff and they will pay us more. And they will, mm-hmm. you also mentioned something that is very common. And I think that people, like I talk about this a lot in our coaching group and in our coaching mm-hmm. calls and stuff, is that last minute bookings have increased significantly, even on larger yeah. homes. And there's a lot of people who bake in price decreases when they're mm-hmm. within 30 days it's like, hey, if I haven't booked out within 30 days, I'm going to have a 10% decrease in discount on my price. If it's 2 weeks out, I'm going to have another 10%. So I'm 20% down on price. And I always tell people, you are leaving a lot of money on the table by doing that, because mm-hmm. most of your markets, and we look at the data, but most markets, you're just basically discounting when most of those bookings are going to come in anyways. And so mm-hmm. having the confidence to sit and stay on a price like longer puts more money in right. your pocket, and you're yeah. noticing that as well. And that is very, very common and something that a lot of people don't do on the price. And that's revenue management. That's understanding basic, right. like, you know, the average lead times have shortened on bookings. And so don't discount when most of your bookings are still going to come and happen. Like, there's a lot mm-hmm. of properties that we look at, even 4 and 5, 6 bedroom properties, that 30 or 40% of the bookings are going to happen within 2 weeks of the date that they're checking in. Mm-hmm. That's a crazy yeah. number compared to a couple of years ago. Right. Yeah. Like, we were like, especially summertime, we're like, oh, now, you know, 90% of the properties are booking 90 days or more out. Right. And mm-hmm. so, and we're finding that there are those properties that are doing that, but there's also a lot of properties that are booking more last minute and yeah. discounting your prices, you know, that last minute for the last minute bookings. You're just a lot of times just giving yourself a haircut, you know, for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's that is something else. Did you start doing that this year? Or was that always a strategy? Because that was sometimes a strategy for a lot of people where they held their prices regardless. Or was that something, what was that a new yeah. change that you did?
You know, I've kind of tested it both ways in our market. And then I just noticed, it depends on the honestly, it depends on the property. Like mm-hmm. some, you do have to, like, if they're just an average property,
discounts make a difference.
Like, you have to discount, like yep. you have to try to be lower than the other guy. But if you have kind of this unique experience, you don't have to compete with them because you've already competed. You're competing on a different level, yep. Really, and stuff. So that's how I would say. We've really seen it from like a practical, like revenue strategy standpoint. So the nicer homes, we can hold our price longer, but if you're just an average run of the mill home, we're going to compete on price to try to get you filled.
Yeah. That's and I love that you just highlighted that, because it does make a difference and it does depend. Mm-hmm. Strategy depends on the property. And like you said, yeah. I mean, if you're blending into the crowd, yeah, you have to have those discounts built in. Because you're competing on price. If you aren't, and you give the consumer a reason that you are different, then you're not competing on price, and you're not competing with those homes that have to discount. And ultimately, that's where we need to be as investors for this game to make any sense and for it to really work. I mean, it really is tough if you are going to be average. I tell people that all the time. If you're not going to commit to be at the top of these markets, this game is not worth playing. As much as I want everybody to make money, that middle of the market, there's a lot of beautiful homes in the middle of the market that just blend into the crowd and they get their fair share of business, and your fair share of business does not pay mortgage payments and expenses and everything else and put any money in your pocket. So figure out either to raise the bar, operate in the top of the market where those bills do get paid and you can put some money in your pocket, or figure out a different asset class that is, doesn't require those things that we need to do on the short-term rental side.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. You said my brother's a long-term rental guy, right? And so he got into the short-term rental stuff and he's like, Bobby, I don't understand it. Like if I buy a 3-bed, 2-bath home, like in the city, and then I buy another 3-bed, 2-bath home, they do the same revenue. But like, why is it different than the rentals? And it's taken him a while.
It's way different. It's so interesting. And long-term rental guys, when they look at it, they're just like, they scratch their head. Like, this is just not, and I love real estate in general, just so everybody is clear. Like, I don't think short-term rentals are the end-all be-all. I think there is real estate can make you wealthy in a lot of different asset classes, and long-term rentals, absolutely. But you have to play each of those games differently. And and our game is the money is made at the top of these markets, and it's not made by being cookie cutter or being in the middle or being average like everybody else. And in the long-term game, you just have to have a really nice 3-bed, 2-bath in a certain zip code, and it's going to bring in a certain amount of rent, right? But there's they don't have to do a lot of things. So they're going to be limited on that rental amount, but it's also going to be way more predictable, and it's going to be very, you know, it's easy to underwrite. It's easy to set up. It's kind of set it and forget it. So there's pros and cons both ways about it, right? In the short-term rental game, you know, we do have the ability to make more money. We both could have a 3-bed, 2-bath in the same market, and one of us can make double the money the other one makes. And we better understand how to be on that side of the coin than the other one, right?
Awesome. You're absolutely correct. I've seen it.
You exactly. When you own properties, but also when you manage properties, you very much see it, especially when you're managing them in the same complex, in the same development, right? Yeah. You're seeing it firsthand how much variation there is with really properties that are equal to everybody else around them, essentially, right? There's some premium lots and stuff in developments, but overall, they're all very similar, built the same time, same amenity, same proximity. Yeah. And so you notice the difference in those people that are able to articulate a different experience and a more immersive experience to their consumers that are willing to pay more.
Yeah. My experience, man, it's double. Like, something done really well, it's usually double the revenue for the same. I mean, it could be the same house next to each other, but this one could legitimately be making twice as much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's bananas.
Yeah. It's crazy. I say that all the time. And I think that, again, it's one of those things that people are like, really, Sean? That's like, we see it all the time. Right. And so it's, and I love when I have these conversations when other people kind of validate it and you see it yourselves and you're like, this happens. This happens. And so if that is true, then the question is, what do I have to do to be on the side of the making double, right? And that's the thing that
I choose double.
Choose double, right? That's awesome. Well, Bob, listen, I love these conversations. I could sit and talk your ear off and let people listen in for hours and hours because I love to just unpack the details. But at the end of these conversations, I always like to leave you with the last word. And one of the questions I like to ask is, if you went back at the very beginning and, you know, there's people here listening to this that are, you know, maybe at the start of their journey, there's people that are in the middle of a journey that are struggling. Maybe there's people that are, you know, just the easiest thing I like to say or ask, and sometimes it's not an easy question to answer, but is, if you could go back and have a piece of advice or give yourself a piece of advice that you could start with instead of learn along the way, is there something that comes to mind? Is there something you would tell your younger self that, you know, that you've learned along the way that you found to be true now that you maybe didn't know or didn't realize back then?
Like, as it pertains to short-term rentals
or anything, right? I always say it could be just life advice if you want to. If there's something, I'm just always curious what comes to mind when that question gets
presented. So for me, it's always, I think I've learned, you know, just just do it sooner, right? Like we always have these like grandiose ideas, right? Like, oh, we'll get to it someday, right? And it could be in various facets of life. It could be short-term rentals. It could be stuff with your family. It could be whatever it is, right? And we have the tendency to just push it down the road or say, hey, we'll do it later, and later never comes, right? And yeah. so why not just do it now, right? So yeah. Just intense action. The worst you can be out is, you know, some sweat and a few tears maybe at the end of the day, but small price to pay. I'd rather live with that than live with regret. So
100%. I love that piece of advice. And I'll tell you, it's the probably the most common thing that we hear when I ask that question. It very much resonates with me right now. 2 weeks ago, I lost my mom, and sometimes someday doesn't come. You know, if we're like, I'll do that someday, I'll do it tomorrow. You know, we don't know if tomorrow is going to be here. Right. And a lot of people have lost somebody. Just as a sobering reminder to us, when we lose somebody very close, is sometimes that doesn't come. And so why not go do it today? Why not? You know, what if you mess up? What if it doesn't work out? And I always tell people, man, I'd wait, like you just said it so well. I'd way rather live with, you know, hey, I took that action instead of living with that regret. And it's, it's something that is really resonates with me right now. I'm like, hey, listen, there's always a reminder to say, hey, listen, sometimes tomorrow doesn't happen. And sometimes someday doesn't come. So why not take action today and just take massive action? And if it works out, you're looking back saying, man, look what I just did. If it doesn't work out, you look back and say, man, look what I just tried, you know, and I'm going to figure it out the next time. And so I'd much rather, you know, live with that, saying I'm glad I did instead of I wish I had. I always say that. And so I love that piece of advice. So Bob, where should we point people? You guys that are listening, we always post in the show notes, we always post properties. When somebody is operating in that market, you know, you are operating as a management partner in that market. Is there somewhere we could point people in that direction as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So our company is amazingvacationstays.com. So you can just go to amazingvacationstays.com and find us. We're in the Branson area. So we've been there since 21. So.
Love it. Well, and we'll post those properties so you guys can go check it out. Like we say, our goal is to help people walk into this game with their eyes wide open. They can look at the success stories, reverse engineer kind of what works and learn from these conversations what doesn't. I think the highlight of this conversation of what doesn't work is just being average and just being in the middle of those markets. And so, Bob, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you letting everybody listening on this conversation. Those of you listening to us, we know how valuable your time is, and we always appreciate you spending it with us. It means a lot. You know, we don't run ads or sponsorships on this show. And so I always ask you at the end of every episode, if you know somebody else would like to walk into this short-term rental world with their eyes wide open and be a part of these conversations, share the show. Those things are very much appreciated. They help us grow the show and spread the word about what we're doing over here at Vodacy in the short-term rental world. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.